it's just a rap thing. Are you ready to move with me? Just move with me. Move with me. Come on, come on. Get up and move with me. Just move with me. Move with me.
Get up on the floor.
Move with me. Just move with me. Move with me. Come on, come on. Get up and move with me. Just move with me. Move with me.
Get up on the floor.
All right, everybody. We're here with episode 16 of The Sounds of Struggle. I am Chris Parrish.
And I am the guy who got tweeted by Vampiro of Lucha Underground.
Lucha, Lucha.
True story. I actually tweeted about it, and I created a drinking game to watch Lucha Underground, which is now on Netflix, first two seasons, all 39 episodes. And he tweeted me back. It's pretty cool.
How drunk are you after playing this game?
I'm not sober.
That's a little bit of all right.
Little bit of all right.
And let's get it out of the way early. WhatAManeuver.net, where you can get all your One World Empire and currently all your Struggle merchandise.
Now that we're getting it out of the way early, it's just it needs to be happening first because we are a little bit of all right.
Well, we tend to get things out early whether we want to or not.
It happens, people. It's a normal bodily function, and I test you to find out otherwise.
I just say it's science.
Oh, fair enough. Anyways, WhatAManeuver.net, they have sweaters, t-shirts, tank tops, baby onesies.
Babies, they are listening and they are wearing gear proudly.
If you have your baby listen to our podcast, they will be 32% smarter. It's scientifically proven.
Yeah, and if they're not, then they're not really your kids now, are they?
And that just makes you question, why aren't they your kids? What did you do wrong?
Yeah. Moving on. We have a lot to talk about tonight. We are going to start probably... Let's just start with pro wrestling. Because that's what we do. That's what you know us from. We'll start with pro wrestling. And we'll start with Alberto El Patron.
Formerly
known as Alberto Del Rio. Pulling out of events that just so happenly be at WrestleMania weekend.
Pulling out something that the two people in some certain video with his with his current fiance don't know how to do.
Yeah. So he pulled out of events to be with his girlfriend Paige, who happens to be going through a hard time with the leakage of...
hard time.
Pun intended. But also dealing with some emotional issues of the leakage of her videos and her nude photos. And all I can say is, Alberto, way to be supportive.
Good for you, man. The struggle is real.
Yeah, but...
Yes, she does.
Thing is, does Paige really... Like, if this is truly... Because I heard reports that her family's concerned about her... after dealing with this, the one thing I think I personally would like to hear about is the WWE, who's employing Paige, get involved, say that they're, you know, showing a matter of caring for their employee, a talent that, you know, is contractually signed to their company. You know, you don't hear anything about that.
But to be fair,
in fact, they actually made kind of fun of it on Monday Night Raw.
Yes. Yes. And the unfortunate part is she's been away for such a long time now with an injury as well as being suspended for the wellness policy. Do you think they're trying to, I'd say, sweep her under the rug? Not just the subject, but her under the rug? Kind of like, whatever. It, you know, let's move on.
Well, I think they're trying to distance themselves from the situation. I don't think they're trying to forget about her as a talent. My thing, and I think what kind of, I don't know if it morally bothers me, but the fact that her boyfriend, you know, is making the effort to be with her and not do anything else, you know, that's a good thing, like, good on him.
Yes, good for him. But, he's supportive.
If a company's employing someone...
You think they show support, too?
if that person is going through emotional distress of any means and the family seems to be concerned, and this company not only has a movie about their family being in the works,
yes,
but also, I mean, I just feel like WWE should show more of a sympathy towards her. And maybe they are, and we just haven't heard about it, which is fine. But at the same time, you would, as I think you would just like to, you know that. Because I think a lot of people can understand how, you know, as much as people were happy to see Paige exposed.
Yeah, I was.
From
top to bottom.
Yeah. From, you know, a curiosity side point.
For science.
Yeah. Always for science.
Always for science.
But at the same time, I mean, there has to be some form of sympathy shown to her in terms of this wasn't by her, this was somebody else. I mean,
stealing her private stuff, which, again, we can go into the whole logistical thing of why do you have that, you're not with the people, but you know what, that's a story for conversation for a different time. Point is, she had that and someone stole it, which is just not right.
No.
And on that note, apparently Sunny was saying on Facebook that she got a picture sent to her of a different woman superstar that is naked and that she's trying to defend them. It's not out yet, but apparently it could be soon.
Yeah, now is this just Sunny?
Is that just Sunny like popping off at the mouth, kind of trying to create buzz?
Or? Well, I mean, I don't think we should use Sunny and popping off in the mouth in the same sentence.
We've seen her do that. Her photos are not private.
And her videos are surely not stolen. Nope. However, I feel bad. We're also Facebook friends. Is this just a way of her trying to get attention again?
You have to kind of assume so. I mean, that's what she's kind of known for now.
In today's world, do you not think a good majority of people have these kind of leaks out there that haven't been leaked? So there's this sort of like information about them, whether it's from a informational or a pictorial or a video standpoint out there, and they know about it, they just haven't shown it to the masses.
And I revert back to episode 15 of The Sounds of Struggle, and to get really big and famous,
hashtag last week,
hashtag a week ago, hashtag last week in wrestling, hashtag, you know, a bunch of other stuff. Anyways, do we have to take a bunch of naked pictures and videos in order for us to get, you know, famous and whatnot?
Do you honestly think naked photos of us will get us famous?
Yes, but not for the right reasons.
I don't think anybody would want to see us naked.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's not for the right reasons.
Like my wife, I don't think, wants to see me naked. Why would anybody else want to?
Why'd she ask me to see you naked?
I don't know.
That's just relationship struggles right there.
I mean, booze rules, people. Booze rules. But I think we should move on back to the topic at hand. Why even talk about if you have somebody else, like if you know somebody else has a leak out there,
creating buzz. That's what you're doing.
At the same time, like, that's what I mean. Like, if she's not going to name drop anybody, clearly the attention is just going to be around her. So I think clearly she just wants the attention. And if she's not going to reveal anything, then, you know, if you're being such a good friend, then just shut up to begin with.
I agree. But again, she needs to have attention on herself. And she's done her pornos.
I know winter's over and we want to see the good sun out, but Sunny just shuts up.
I know recently it was International Puppy Day, but I mean, that's the way I go about it.
Yeah. Kitty on my foot and I want to touch it, but at the same time you just say no.
Yes. And you know, in keeping with, you know, sort of with somewhat stories of people who were not doing so well mentally, turns out apparently Mauro Ranallo is apparently depressed, and that's why he hasn't been the last couple weeks of SmackDown.
You know, this is a big I think to us this is a big thing, because
I agree.
I mean, we had our we talked about this a few shows back prior.
I'd say a couple months ago at Bell Let's Talk.
For the Bell Let's Talk. This isn't just a promotional thing that we did because I mean, at the same time, we also have our beliefs and our opinions about the depression thing, too.
Yeah.
And as Mauro Ranallo goes, we both love him as an announcer and listening to his announcing every week on SmackDown.
Not only his wit, but his... His delivery is
fantastic. Ability to keep the product a little bit more fresh than a Michael Cole or a Tom Phillips.
Which, don't get me wrong, those guys are good. But
well, at least he keeps Mauro Ranallo you know is, what, in the pants.
Well, yeah, Michael Cole, figure that out.
Well, Michael Cole hasn't done anything wrong. If anything,
that you know of.
Hey, I don't care how he handled the Jerry Lawler heart attack thing, he will forever have my personal respect.
Fair enough.
As a human being and as a professional. And he was put in the worst situation as being the guy to replace JR.
Yes.
That is not easy. However, Mauro Ranallo is... Everyone in Canada knows, as a wrestling or MMA fan, just how, you know, passionate he is about both sports. And, you know, depression can come to anybody at any time for whatever reason. And the fact that, you know, he has made it known that that's what he's going through. He has missed some shows. He needs people just to reach out to him. So if you are a fan of Mauro Ranallo, just reach out to him, because believe me, as someone who has gone through depression, you just want people to... you just want to know people are there for you. So, if you're a fan of Mauro Ranallo, just, you know, reach out to him.
And all the best to him, and hopefully he's able to battle through this and come back stronger than ever.
And let's face it, who doesn't want to hear Mauro Ranallo at WrestleMania?
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a lot more of all right.
Yeah. It'd be a little bit more than a little bit of all
right. It would be a little bit more of a little bit of all right.
Indeed.
And that blew me up. So, moving on.
Let's see. We talked a little bit about last week how certain people are inducting certain other people in the Hall of Fame. We didn't talk about everybody because I don't think we knew at the time. So,
no, a lot of information wasn't revealed. We, in the last week, were told a few more.
Like Teddy Hart is being inducted by the APA?
You mean Teddy Long.
Wow. I've had way too many drinks.
Don't worry,
Teddy Long, playa.
Teddy Hart had a lot more drugs, so it's all good.
Yes, Teddy Long, playa. I apologize. That is my faux pas.
You should make a tag match now for his honor.
How about this coming Saturday at MPW show?
Reboot.
Wow, it's amazing how well that worked. It's almost like it was planned.
No, not at all. We're way too drunk to plan anything.
I'm not drunk. I'm just not drunk. Sober. What? Shut up. Anyways.
You're not even my real dad.
No, because we're brothers or whatever. Shut up. Anyways. Yeah. Eric Bischoff is inducting DDP.
DDP. He likes yoga, people.
And Natalya is inducting Beth, which I agree with. I like that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it seemed like they were really good friends. They also tagged with each other when they battled Late Cool. So it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. My thing is, the one that kind of, like, you know, raises my eyebrows is the APA inducting Teddy Long.
As far as I know, they don't have any connection, really, besides working, I guess, in the same company.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know, like...
But maybe they have some sort of history that I don't know.
The one thing I would look at is, I think JBL has a lot of good things to say about Teddy Long, always has. Therefore, I think the respect that both Ron Simmons and JBL have for Teddy Long is there. And, you know what? I'm curious to see what they say. I'm curious to see how well it goes. If there's one person I was to put alongside of Teddy Long, Ron Simmons might actually be that guy. So they had some history in WCW, so it does make a little bit of sense. But yeah, you know what? This is the one where, you know what? I completely understand why it's both APA, but at the same time, I'll keep my ears open and my opinion narrow.
For yourself?
Oh no, because I got to keep my opinion for the podcast.
Yeah, fair enough.
But you know, I'll listen to it first before I truly express how I feel about it.
Fair enough.
And then, yeah, we talked about John Cena inducting Kurt Angle. So I mean, I think it should be a good Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I agree.
Who do you think should be inducted to the Hall of Fame that hasn't right now? Or who do you think will be inducted this year?
This year?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody. I think it's been rounded out. 6 days or 7 days before Mania, I think it's been rounded out.
I think we might get one more.
You think so?
And I really hope it's William Regal.
I don't think so. I don't think this year. I think this year's class has been solidified. Although they haven't done the whole, the Ultimate Warrior Award?
Yeah.
That one will probably happen.
No, they have announced it. I just don't know, and I don't remember the person. So, here's the thing for Mike the Ref. You're going to totally jump on us.
Because you're a knob.
Yeah. But you're also going to correct us, because you like to always correct
try.
Us.
Try. We don't generally give you opportunity, but...
Well, I mean... Because last week, the Edmonton Sport Podcast Network tried to correct us about the Blue Jackets making the playoffs, but, you know, we also, said so later.
And the same podcast.
Yeah, so, you know, I messaged, thanks, but we covered this in the podcast.
Thanks, but you're wrong!
Not really wrong, but it's like, yeah, we already did this.
It wasn't us, they're wrong.
We corrected ourselves already, so just, you know... Thanks for listening to the whole thing.
Like a good person should.
Yeah. Or like State Farm.
Like a good agent, State Farm is there.
Yeah. And we're there.
Free plug for State Farm.
Well, I mean, sponsors are hard to get nowadays.
Hey, State Farm, give us a call. You can sponsor us and we'll plug your stuff endlessly.
You can be the official insurance of the Sounds of Struggle.
Which would be a little bit of all right.
Yeah. And, one condition is the spokesperson has to be the same guy.
The black guy?
Well,
I don't know. He's also in TED too. He did a very, very good job of being a doctor then.
What else do you have? The black guy.
I don't think it's racist.
Well, I guess people can see what we're talking about. They
unless,
can only hear.
Unless you're blind. Anyways, the Hardys apparently have been offered a contract with WWE.
Yeah, nice save. And going to, but yes, they have.
Matt Hardy's shop, which he sells of t-shirts and all this stuff, has officially closed.
Yeah, so
which is interesting.
That's a good sign that WWE has officially signed both Matt and Jeff Hardy. At least Matt Hardy for sure. I can't see why they wouldn't get Jeff.
Brother Nero.
And Broken Matt. Now my thing.
I wonder if they get the Gardener.
Nope, this has already been put out, actually. Apparently, both Rebus Guy and the... What was the guard?
Senior Benjamin.
Senior Benjamin have not been offered a contract, which...
Whoa,
thank God. I mean, Rebus not that good looking, and Senior
Benjamin... I don't care about her. I want Senior Benjamin to get a job as a manager.
I'm sure if they did a skit, they would appear.
Yeah, I guess.
But at the same time, I think this is big, and I would love to see both the Hardys on SmackDown.
I would like to see what if they're on SmackDown, them versus Bray Wyatt.
You would almost have to assume that them and the Usos are imminent based on the incredibly sudden switch of the SmackDown tag titles.
Yes.
Because that was very confusing, because a lot of people would assume that the Usos and American Alpha would have a tag title match at Mania.
And, which they very well could.
And now...
Probably on the pre-show.
Now it's 10 days away from WrestleMania and the take-up?
No, it's seven.
Well, from when this airs.
Oh, from when it airs, it'd be four?
Yeah, but I mean, at the time of the switch.
Oh, okay, 10 days.
I'm confusing you right now, alright.
I need another drink.
Yeah, at the time of the switch, you were pretty much... 10 to 2 weeks away from WrestleMania,
yeah.
And you do a title switch, and usually that would be very confusing, because why would you do something like that at that point?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you'd think that there's something bigger going on, and then all of a sudden now we have this rumors of the Hardy Boys jumping on board. You can only assume that They're going to be SmackDown bound, and, you know, the Hardy Boys and the Usos. Which makes another thing is, now where do you do, what do you do with American Alpha if this is the case?
Unfortunately, I think they're going to go the same way as the, what do you call them, the Vaudevillains, and get lost in the shuffle.
See, my thing is there's a tag team in NXT that you'd assume with after their next takeover should be done.
I don't think that offers a pin already, though.
No, but you're wearing a t-shirt of them.
Oh, DIY.
No.
Oh, look down. Oh, the Revival.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people can only assume that the Revival are bound to make their main roster debut soon. And I can only assume that they're going to make it shortly after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Just like Enzo and Cass.
Yep.
But with that said, then all of a sudden, if you had tag teams like the Revival, the Hardy Boys, American Alpha, the Usos, the Ascension,
the Vaudevillains,
all on the same brand.
One, you know what? Breezango.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, your tag division is amazing.
By the way, did anyone else get turned on when they saw Tyler Breeze dressed as Nikki Bella, or is that just me?
Did you see the clip? Yeah, that was probably just you. did you see the clip of John Cena walking into basically a mirror image of Nikki Bella and Tyler Breeze dressed as Nikki Bella? And he's like, "This is ridiculous. Come on, Nikki, let's go." And he walks off with Tyler Breeze. And then Nikki Bella was like, "What?" Oh, it was fantastic.
That was fantastic, though.
Going back to it, how fantastic was the parody of Total Bellas portrayed by the Miz and Maryse?
The Miz and Maryse are producing some of the most entertaining stuff I've seen in a long time. Those two are knocking it out of the park every single week.
And this, I mean, we talked about last week how we potentially think that they're already looking at the main event of WrestleMania 34. I have a match for WrestleMania 34 that I think a lot of people might initially say, "Eh," but then when it happens, be like, "Yeah." And that is another tag match, you know, influenced by Teddy Long. I mean, we'll go there.
Teddy Long, Blair.
Halala. But at the same time, I mean, you've seen Triple H do a lot of things at WrestleMania.
Yes, and he looks really good.
But you've never seen him tag with his wife at WrestleMania, just like John Cena and Nikki Bella, or The Miz and Maryse.
Closest we got, I guess, was WrestleMania 31 when it was The Rock and what's her
Ronda face? Rousey.
Yeah, that one. The one that lost everything.
Yep. But here's the thing. I think WWE needs to put over somebody who they haven't, you know, is like, we'll be honest, like, The Miz is not a guy
that he's not the guy.
That a lot of people would say, you know what, yeah, he's the guy. But at the same time, he has a lot of attributes that a lot of people, like, when it comes to cutting a good promo, he's the guy.
Oh, absolutely.
When it comes to consistently being a good performer, he's a great person for that. Nobody can honestly, you know, take away what he's done in the ring in the last 3 years and on the microphone. Not to mention, I personally believe Maryse is a very underrated diva or woman on the roster right now.
Yes, I agree.
Therefore, WrestleMania 34, if you want someone to challenge the authority, who's more better to do it than The Miz and Maryse? And you put them in a tag match between Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
I'd see that.
I think that would be one hell of an angle and a match at WrestleMania 34. And therefore, you have two new faces to the main event. Even though The Miz's main event at WrestleMania before,
it was marred by so much controversy, you could almost not call it a main event.
But at the same time, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, I mean, who can go toe-to-toe with Stephanie McMahon as a woman on the microphone? I think Maryse is right up there.
Oh, yeah, her too.
But I think The Miz and Triple H is a different dynamic that can be a lot of fun to watch.
I agree. Now, I think we should switch gears a bit and kind of bring it down a little bit.
I even have a bigger idea for wrestling, but yeah, we'll... Oh, what do you have?
I'd say it's unfortunately that I'm sure everyone knows, but we will re-announce or announce that Jim Ross's wife is unfortunately died as a result of an unfortunate accident with a Vespa on a Vespa.
Yes, unfortunately, Jan Ross, the wife of Jim Ross, passed away a few days ago.
Yes,
this is being taped or recorded
Sunday.
Sunday, March 26th.
Yes.
And I believe it was Friday...
24th.
The 24th, yeah. That we heard about the news. And we just want to send out our condolences, but also our best wishes to Jim Ross, the family, and all the friends of both him and his wife. And we just want to personally say how simply touched we were by meeting Jim Ross and his wife at the Cauliflower Rally Club last year. But at the same time, we just want to wish them nothing but the best moving forward, because this was a tragic incident.
Yes.
And it's just unfortunate. So to the Ross family, the struggle
is unfortunately very real.
We a little too much.
Well, that's true, though.
But we, we send our condolences and our prayers to the Ross family.
Moving on, picking it back up again.
Yeah.
Ring of our WWE apparently in works to buy either Ring of Honor or something part of Ring of Honor. Something?
Yeah, because initially we heard that the WWE was going to purchase Ring of Honor. And then I heard it was more about the Ring of Honor library, which, with the network, seems to make a lot of sense.
But at the same time, having an active company, it wouldn't make sense that their library is bought.
Well, we also have seen in the past with CM Punk, maybe Seth Rollins,
Samoa Joe, Daniel Bryan, Claudio Castagnoli, a.k.a. Cesaro.
Yeah, other wrestlers, we have seen that the Ring of Honor library has been used. Also, I don't think it's a well-known secret that Ring of Honor and WWE have had a working relationship, just like WWE and ECW had back in the past.
WWE and...
Evolve.
Evolve, yes.
Yeah. But that's also one of the same as, at the time, Ring of Honor's figurehead and the main head, and Evolve's main head, Gabe Sapolsky,
yes,
who is also a protege of Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah. And, but if they were to purchase Ring of Honor, the amount of talent, well, the one guy I'd be super happy to see, Dalton Castle.
See, I would say him and Adam Cole.
Yeah, but Adam Cole's not contractually with Ring of Honor right now. He was... But now he has working relationship with other companies as well.
Yes. Okay, he's got New Japan as well.
But my thing, if Christopher Daniels was to come with that, how much would he help the Performance Center?
I don't know. I don't think the Performance Center needs a conquistador.
Curryman
would be sweet.
Same. But no, I mean, just think about, 5 years ago, when TNA was rocking the Samoa Joes, the Bobby Roods, Kurt Angles, the Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, the James Storm, and all of a sudden now, WWE...
All those guys have either... They're there now, or they've had a little stint of some sort.
And here's another thing, too. The former booker of Ring of Honor, another amazing talent the Ring of Honor employed...
Jimmy Jacobs?
No. Well, that too, but also Adam Pearce are now both employed by the World Wrestling Entertainment.
On Raw brand, I believe.
Yes. Actually, Jimmy Jacobs is actually credited for not only making the list.
The Jericho list.
The list of Jericho, but also it.
Jimmy Jacobs, I like him.
He made it a thing.
He's a good man.
So.
You know, actually, if you look back at... It's going to be really random, but PWG's Battle of Los Angeles 2008, half the roster, I believe, is now some part of WWE.
Well, I think when you look back at wrestlers like CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, a.k.a. Bryan Danielson, they're very influential of helping the current generation of indie workers, as we put in quotations, make it to the world of wrestling entertainment.
Yep.
Because since then, we now saw guys like Cesaro, Seth Rollins.
Dean Ambrose. Not quite, but still, yes.
Guys like Chris Hero, a.k.a. Cassius Ohno, Bobby Roode, James Storm at some point. Even, you know, to an extent of, you know, there's also more like Samoa Joe, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens.
Yes.
But among others that I haven't mentioned. But then we even look internationally and you see the Hideo Itamis, the Shinsuke Nakamura.
The, not Sin Cara, but...
Mystico, who did make it, who was the original Sin Cara.
I was going to say the guy that does Lucha Dragon stuff. What's his name? Kalisto. That's the one, who's Samurai del Sol.
Yep. But you see... You see that, you know... What's the best word? The understanding, and I think a lot of this has to go with Triple H. He sees that, you know, the independent wrestling is not just a different style or a different market, but some of these are the best talents in the world today. Yeah. So they're now there. So one could argue that WWE wanting to purchase Ring of Honor just simply makes sense.
It does. I mean, it's kind of also padding your future.
Now, think about this. You can also get Ring of Honor, possibly on the WWE Network, and this could be now a weekly show.
That'd be fantastic.
A little bit of all right now.
It'd be like a farm team for the farm team.
Exactly. It's like the NHL, not only as the AHL, but now as the ECHL. Exactly. So,
it's almost like we're on the same page there, man.
It's kind of like we know what we're talking about before we actually say it.
Indubitably.
Yeah, I know how to spell that on Google.
Yes.
But with that being said, the amount of options and possibilities you have are huge. And this now brings me kind of to my point. Now, if you have other territories and markets to you, the creative options are now endless. Which now, like I was thinking the other day, man, the WWE versus the Alliance could have been so much better had, you know, WCW had their top guys. But now when you kind of take it down a notch and you look at NXT, you look at 205 Live, you look at the WWE UK tournament, you know, how cool would it be if the UK guys would start invading 205 Live?
Or even NXT.
No, but hear me out. 205 Live and the UK guys all of a sudden now are invading each other's shows. All of a sudden, you know, they come to the big mass that, you know, it's better to work together, kind of like how the first season NXT was just a competition between guys and then all of a sudden it formed the Nexus. So same idea. Then all of a sudden, they start trying to take... They combine forces and take over NXT. And then you have guys like William Regal, who's very much responsible for both 205 Live and the UK, as he did a lot of scouting of all the talent. Possibly, maybe, turning his back on the NXT, and then you could have an NXT versus 205 Live in UK. And just how amazing would that be to watch? And now you kind of have that 2000 to 2002 kind of time play, but it's done in a smaller scale. It's perhaps talent that's more at each other's level than what you had when you had the Alliance versus WWE.
I want to point out right now, this whole entire thought has been trademarked by The Struggle and The Struggle Industries. So, WWE, if you're going to use that, get in contact with us. We'll help you out.
Yep, I'm using all of your talent to think of an idea like this. So,
Something that's never been done on this grand of a scale before. Call us, we'll help you out, buds.
But also, how awesome would that be to watch?
Fantastic. It'd be a little bit of all right.
Yeah. It would be awesome.
Yeah.
But what's not awesome is what's not awesome is that now we're switching subjects from the WWE, from pro wrestling, to the NHL. What's not awesome is Sidney Crosby and his ability, you know, to come across a little dirty, perhaps.
Where, slash a guy's tip of his finger right off?
Well, he has made news in the past of two actions. In back-to-back games, nonetheless. Back-to-back nights. One was against the Buffalo Sabres.
And Ryan O'Reilly speared him right in the vaginal area. Well, I would say penis, but after the spear, it turns into a vaginal area.
Anyway, he slashed Ryan O'Reilly in the testicle area.
It was more of a...
In the growing area.
It was more of a spear, but yeah.
It was a flick.
A fish hook.
It was a flick of the back end.
It was a pitchfork.
You're really taking this out of the...
You know what? No, you're just... You're just sucking on Sidney Crosby's fucking...
No, because there was no forward motion of the stick. It was just...
It was like, straight upward. The still, that's...
It was a flick of the blade.
I don't care if it's a flick of the blade.
Trust me,
it could be a flick of a skate. No, cut someone's neck.
I believe that one was dirty, whereas the slash on Mark Mathot is just a simple everyday play that happened to have a bad result. I do think the two are different. I do think the fact.
I think that in general should not be allowed. Like on the stick, maybe, but on the hand, that should still be a penalty. No,
but I was watching something from the Sportsnet, and Elliot Freeman pointed out. Now you see that play every day where Sidney Crosby slash Mark Mathot, and he ended up getting his hand and cut his finger, pretty gruesomely. Might have damn near off. Yep. But how often do you see that play in a hockey game on a day-to-day basis?
Probably more than you realize because you don't notice it.
And from a standpoint, it's become acceptable. But Elliot Friedman pointed out, now, if that was a couple inches lower and he hit the stick and the stick broke, you get called for a slashing penalty right on the spot. But then you hit a guy on the gloves and it's more, oh, it's a hockey play. And so they pointed out the mentality and... of just the call itself and the play itself needs to be looked at.
So at that point, is that the referee's fault, really? Because that should be a slash.
But I think that's more of a general idea of just how that play is with everyone. I think everybody just has that mental aspect of, you know what, that's just, you know, an everyday hockey play. And I think the slash itself should be looked at a little differently, whether it's on the stick, on the gloves, I don't think it should matter. I think that's a slashing penalty, 2 minutes, regardless of if you hurt a guy or not, that's a slash, and it needs to be penalized. Yeah. Whereas...
They cut down on the stick work and whatnot, I mean, that should be for everybody.
But, I mean, at the same time, I don't think Sidney Crosby did anything more wrong than... Honestly, what has happened in hockey on an everyday motion in the Mark Mathot situation? My thing was, when it came to the Ryan O'Reilly situation, is he literally skated up.
He tried to turn him into a castrated individual.
Now, at the time of when he went to go about this, Riley did have the puck around him. So, Sidney Crosby said he didn't try to get him in the testicles. He tried to get him on the stick, which was... right in front. The way he was positioned...
He was behind him, though, so why would you try to go for the stick from behind?
My thing is, that didn't look like anything other than him trying to hit a guy in the testicles. Therefore, should have valued a penalty. He was not penalized for both these incidents, and I think that is what's wrong. Not the fact that he was suspended or fined, which he wasn't. I don't think he... Either one of those should have resulted in either a fine or a suspension. I do think both actions deserved a 2-minute minor penalty. One, strictly, was a slash in the Mark Mathot. And the other one, I would actually argue, could have been more unsportsmanlike. Literally, you want to call it a slash?
I'd call it, honestly, a double minor for Hand to the Head.
Well, but, I mean, at the same time, that's my argument, too, is a lot of people will, like the Ristolainen hit. It basically was him hitting a guy, and yes, it was interference. Should have been nothing more than 2-minute interference penalty. He got 3 games because he hit a guy that he was much taller than. He's like 6'3", and the guy he hit was 5'10".
Yeah.
And he got suspended 3 games because the guy who got hit, you know, his head was, you know, around the guy's elbows.
Well, that's I mean, as much as I don't like the team of the guy, like, Zdeno Chara hits someone, say, Johnny Gaudreau, who's like a 5'9", and Zdeno Chara is 6'9", 6'11" on skates. There's no physical way, scientifically, mind you, that you can get him to hit Gaudreau without hitting him in the head. It's just not happening.
No, and I think this is one of the things where, you know, you're suspending a guy mainly because he's taller than the other guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not like what he didn't leave the ice when he made the hit. He didn't target anything. He just hit him. He actually turned his body to make the hit. And then he got 3 games, and I don't think it was a vicious hit. Nobody was hurt. Personally, I don't think an injury should really determine if a guy should be suspended anymore or not.
No.
I think that takes away from the act itself. But at the same time, I just didn't see that play being anything more than a possible interference call at most. Whereas I look at the Sidney Crosby slash, and I hate saying that it's a Sidney Crosby slash because it happens every game with multiple people. It actually happens to Sidney Crosby himself a lot as well.
But because he's such a high-profile player, exactly, that's why it makes such a big deal.
Yeah, and it's also the fact that these two incidences involving Crosby happened literally back-to-back days, back-to-back games.
I bet you if either one of these situations happened to, say, a Jordan Tutu or a Zach Cassian.
How about Sean Avery?
Sean Avery, I guarantee they'd be suspended.
But at the same time, it's one of those things where I think the slash needs to be looked at just as an entire, just as its own matter. The Ryan O'Reilly one, where, you know what? Ryan O'Reilly did not hold any grudge. It wasn't a big deal. It was rushed away.
Nobody got, because he won gold with him at the World Championship.
But at the same time, I think at some point you got to look at, you know what, we play a contact competitive sport.
You're going to get sticked in the nuts.
Sometimes these things just happen. Accidents happen. Now,
true, that's how I was born.
Me too. But at the same time, you can't, if they're not dangerous and they're just unfortunate, that's one thing. But if they're a legit infraction of the game, which I think the slashing one was,
yep,
you gotta call it, and you gotta change that psyche of how the league looks at that play. And I think this is now a strong indication, because a guy like Mark Methot now is gonna miss a week or two.
Minimum. Probably. I think he might be out for a couple weeks.
And to be honest, the guy got hurt based on an act of somebody else, and that other guy isn't being suspended, and now this team has lost one of its defensemen for a week or two. And then you look at the Ristolainen one, he's going to lose $90,000 for the 3 games that he's playing for a call that honestly should have been interference.
Yeah.
So I think the NHL, from a league standpoint, has to look at the way they're conducting these suspensions.
Now, at this point, do you personally blame someone like, say, Pronger, who's in charge of the stuff now?
No, I think I literally blame the league, and I blame the players, and I think I blame everyone involved, because I think the fact that the players themselves say, you know what, this happens every day, it's just a hockey play, and it's a slash, but then they all say, you know what, I'd like to see this being a matter to take more seriously in the future. There's a lot of stuff you got to look at that one, because if the people want it, if the players want this to be looked at differently, and the league itself thinks it should be looked at differently, then you've got to make it work. And you got to make the change. If it's a slash, you call it as a slash.
Yep.
The fact that Mark Method got hurt and he got his finger off, that's very unfortunate. But sometimes you hit a guy in that spot, that can happen. You hit a guy in a different spot, and it's just a matter of...
And his damn arm falls off.
Yeah, but then again, you hit a guy's stick, and it breaks 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like, now you're saying a finger is less severe than a stick. Like, if that makes no sense to me.
Well, you have 10 of them. You only have one stick on the ice. That makes sense.
Yeah, but you can't just buy a new finger.
Well, with their money, you should be able to.
Not for $160, you can't. You can buy a new stick for $160.
Not the sticks they use.
Oh, the sticks they use are about $160.
Yeah, the sticks they use are actually free, but we wouldn't get it into
that. Well, yeah, but, I mean, my point is this. I mean, that, like, the slash itself, it is an infraction.
Yes.
Interference is an infraction.
Yes.
You call it for the infraction. I don't think there's anything else that you needed to do.
No.
Bruce Linen, I think, got the worst end of
it.
Yeah, I think he got the worst part of it, because that was nothing more than interference. He got 3 games. Sidney Crosby, a.k.a., you know, considered the best player in hockey right now, does a slash, hurts a guy, nothing. And admits that, you know what, I'd like to see the league crack down on these things. So he knows that it's not a right act. It happens. And then it's just looked at as acceptable. I think the mental aspect of just how they look at this act alone needs to be changed.
Yes.
It should be a 2, maybe it should be a 4-minute slashing penalty.
Into the head.
No, but I mean, like, the guy took his finger off. He was bleeding. A high stick, that's 4 minutes.
If it's bleeding, yes.
Why wouldn't that be a 4-minute slash?
Well, we never got to check to see if Ryan O'Reilly was bleeding from his head.
Well, I don't think he was... I mean, his voice might have cracked, but I don't think he was bleeding.
He might have hit a high F.
Yeah, he could, you know, but...
But keeping with Crosby and the Penguins, they officially clinched.
Yeah, they did.
The Coyotes and the Devils are officially out. And there's another team that we looked at that statistically should be out, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean...
You want to go into that?
Yeah, because, I mean, we're recording on the Sunday the 26th. So Saturday the 25th, I looked at, and Vancouver had, what was it, 69 points with 74 games played.
Yeah.
Which means they have 8 games left.
Yeah.
Which means they can only get 16 more points in the year. Meaning their total is only 85 at best. Whereas St. Louis, who's currently in the 8th spot, has 86. How they're not given that eliminated, I don't understand.
Like, I don't know.
They're not.
And they lost again tonight, which means that they have 7 games left.
Yeah.
Which they should be statistically.
And they can only get 84. And it's like, stick them out.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we live in the Edmonton area. We don't like Vancouver anyway, but at the same time,
to be fair,
they're out.
Neither does the rest of the league, but that's beside the point.
They're out.
Yes.
Just, who cares? Just it's a lost season.
Delete, delete,
delete, delete, delete.
Yeah, I think I did stupid, but
I don't know.
It is they'll be deleted soon enough.
And just for the sole purpose, this is being recorded on Sunday, 26th. We will be airing on the Thursday. Which I believe is the, 30th? Or
How many days are in March?
31, yeah.
So it'll be the 30th.
Yeah. So, yeah, but, I mean, both our teams are in first place.
Well, yours is tied for first, even though mine had an abysmal 7-0 loss last night.
Yeah.
They're still in first place.
Probably winning the West.
At this point, right now,
bearing a giant drop off, they should win the West.
It doesn't matter because at this point, holy crap, 7-0 loss. Hopefully, this is the reality check that they need going into.
And they lost to Florida, right?
You know what? Florida's not bad.
And you know the worst thing is, Jarker got 0 points,
which is a little bad. It's too bad because last year Florida's in it. This year, not so much.
Yeah. Well, I mean they were, but then they.
Well, like, they're not statistically eliminated yet, but they're. They're close. They're on the cusp. But it's, you know, it was not a good day to be a Chicago fan.
Great day to be an Oilers fan.
They did well. I'll give you that.
I mean, back-to-back wins against the second-worst team in the league.
Yes.
But, I mean, hey. You know what? The one thing is McDavid and Draisaitl became the first Oiler pair to have 70 points in the last 11 years.
They're doing well together. Yeah. Draisaitl, 4 goals, 10 assists in the last 7 games.
14 points in the last 7 games. 2 points a game. I mean, you're getting your number one players hot at the right time.
Yes.
And their backup goalie, back-to-back wins.
Yes, Bersois.
Yeah, LB.
Former Oil King.
So,
get behind that. Speaking of goalies, Gustafsson scored his first ever goal.
Yeah, nailed it.
Nailed it.
Yeah, and he made a 4-1 game, 5-1. With the Bakersfield Condors.
I'm surprised that they pulled the goalie with 4-1.
Well,
like three goals back, it's yeah, a little excessive.
There was how much time left in the game?
I don't know. I just
couple minutes.
Sure.
I mean, now it's become a little bit more acceptable for a team to pull their goalie with 2 minutes left than just a minute if they're down by more than one goal.
Hell, I've seen it more acceptable for guys to pull goalies with like 3.5 to 4 minutes left.
I was at a game where it was the Oilers and the Thrashers, and there was a line brawl.
So what, 2001?
I think it was 2002. But yeah, there's a line brawl, and Atlanta's goalie actually got hurt at the beginning of the game, so their backup goalie was in, and then the line brawl came, and then a goalie fight, so Atlanta had no goalie for the last 4.5 minutes.
That's impressive.
It was very interesting.
That's history right there, folks. History. Yeah. You make history come alive.
Mike Bishai was fighting another guy in the Atlanta Thrasher bench, and nobody on the bench could touch Bishai, because that was an automatic suspension.
Interesting.
It was very fun to watch in the crowd.
I bet.
And then the next time I saw the Thrashers, Taylor Hall got his first NHL hat trick.
And where is he now? Oh, eliminated. You know what he is? He's deleted.
No, I'm sorry. The Avalanche are the worst team in the league.
I don't care. They're still deleted.
Taylor Hall is worth the second worst team in the league.
Still deleted.
The New Jersey Devils.
Still deleted. Yeah. He's probably the second worst team last year, too. There's a trend there. He is poison in the locker room.
Yeah, and you know what? We actually ended up trading them, and now we're leading our division.
Tied lead.
Yeah. Thanks, Taylor, for helping us out by leaving town.
Yes. Taylor, you've done more by leaving than you ever did by staying.
True. Apparently, us meeting you at a first-round establishment really, really showed its true colors.
Yeah, you helped me get second in that hockey pool, so I mean, I guess I can
you
do that.
You benched him the day before.
Yeah, so he didn't get any points except for one on his own net, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, and I made sure I said that to him.
Yeah, well, he sucks, so what the hell with him?
Hey, man, he scored. He should have been that bad.
Whatever. Anyways, moving on. Gary Bettman says NHL is probably not going to be at the Olympics.
Yeah, that's a mistake. Yeah,
the IIHF wants an answer by the end of April, and I bet you they're not going to go. Now, do we see players like Ovechkin, Malkin, players like that, leave and not renew their contract and go back to Russia so they can play?
See, I think Ovechkin does have a contract for that year. I think a lot of players who are UFA this year may look at that as a way to, you know, maybe kind of, you know, I want to play in the Olympics. I'm not going to sign with an NHL club, but maybe I'll wait and play the Olympics and then sign later. I think there could be a lot of interesting scenarios that come to place, especially when you have a team like Vegas coming out.
Yeah.
So I don't really know if this is necessarily a good thing, bad thing. I just think the fact that Gary Bettman does not have the NHL players playing in the Olympics is not a smart thing moving forward, because that is great exposure for the National Hockey League in the biggest form of hockey, the Olympics. Everyone gets to watch the Olympics worldwide, and you have no NHL participation. I think that's a loss on Gary Bettman's part.
And from a personal standpoint, that's a really bad omen for Canada, because we're not going to win without the guys from the NHL.
Hey, Spangler Cup, we won. Just saying.
Yes, but the talent is not the same. No offense to people over in Europe, but it's not the same.
Hey, man, Robbie Shrimp's on the Spangler Cup. We got this.
That's great. He didn't make it in the NHL. That's my point.
Yeah, but NHL ain't playing.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if the NHL does not allow Canadian or American-born players to play,
no,
I think Canada is not going to make the medal round.
No, they'll let the Bourne player, it's just people under contract. So, I mean, you're just, that's what I mean. Like, I just think there's, you know, possible players, like a guy like Radulov, might want to play in the Olympics. Therefore, he might not re-sign with Montreal or sign with any other team.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is what I mean. Like, I just don't think, I think the Olympics will get a hit if the NHL players aren't in for the terms of hockey.
Well, to be honest, I'll watch, but I won't be as invested.
If Canada still wins, I just want to say then that just shows that we are better than anybody else in hockey.
Ever, yes.
In Ever. All the time.
And we won't even have to have a movie like Miracle made for us.
No, because it's not a miracle, because we expected it.
Exactly. Well, actually, this year we wouldn't. Or sorry, next year.
I always expected we're the best.
Yeah. Moving on, I know we're not huge fans, but March Madness, I heard you're doing all right.
Yeah, so I like to play fantasy football. And
Mark.
That's not a mark, it's just awesome.
Mark.
I'm good at it.
You're Mark.
Hey, man, I did a draft in the ring once and won that league.
You're Mark.
I'm good.
You're good, Mark.
Yeah, I'm very good. Anyway, yeah, by winning a Yahoo league, I got a free entry into a March Madness league where I actually just randomly picked Gonzaga to play the North Carolina Tar Heels.
And they're both in the Final Four.
Yeah.
It could actually happen.
Yeah, because the Ducks, the Oregon Ducks, are playing North Carolina, and Gonzaga is playing the 7th seed, which they should win. So the
Bulls, I don't even know who the 7th seed is.
I looked at it. I didn't remember it. But the Gonzaga Bulldogs should play the North Carolina Tar Heels in the final.
And you heard it here first. That's impressive.
And I'm just going to say, yeah, I picked it. I had no idea if any of those two teams were good.
He found out on this podcast afterwards from me that Gonzaga is actually number one overall.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So the fact that I called this shows you how easy basketball is to call.
It's kind of a waste of time.
Yep.
Moving on. So. USA wins the World Baseball Classic. Stroman winning the MVP. Now, the backlash on Stroman for not playing for Puerto Rico. Do you think that's warranted?
Now, is this like a Denmark Brett Hull thing where he was born in Puerto Rico but grew up in the States?
I think so. As far as I know, he was born there. I think he grew up there a little bit, but then came over here and played here.
See, both Deadmarsh and Hull were Canadian-born, but they grew up in the States, and then ended up playing hockey for the United States. Stroman was born in Puerto Rico and played baseball.
I think some baseball in Puerto Rico, but then I think at least half of it in the States.
I just think that, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Do you watch any of this World Baseball Classic?
I did on the highlights on TSN.
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention either. I don't care about it, to be honest.
No. All I know is that right now in the preseason, the Blue Jays are getting killed consistently.
Yeah, but apparently a lot of the guys are looking good, so.
Well, that's all that matters, I guess, as long as they're looking good, even though they're not winning.
Yeah, but at the same time, a lot of teams that ended up winning, like the Cubs last year didn't do well in preseason.
That's true.
The Indians didn't do well. The Blue Jays did, and then they, what, lost?
But
in the...
they at least got to the conference final again.
Yeah, but they didn't win, so that's like my point. So sometimes your preseason record doesn't exactly determine where you're going to be.
I know it never does, but it's, you know, a little offsetting as right now. I mean, I'm sure later on we'll be laughing.
The Edmonton Choppers do well in preseason. Doesn't mean anything.
Who the hell is that?
Just don't you worry. You wait till October.
I thought that their name was the Edmonton Prospects.
And then we also have the Cracker Cats as well, don't you?
The Cracker Cats.
And the Capitals. The Capitals were the last Edmonton baseball team to win.
Anyways, keeping with baseball, John Gibbons signed a 2-year extension. Do you think that's good for the team or not?
It's good for him. You know what? The fact that they have been to back-to-back divisional series...
Conferences.
And divisional.
Yes, too.
The fact that he's had the success the last few years, whether that's a tribute to, you know, his job or the roster, it's a little bit of both. I don't think bad managers have the success consistently like he has in the last couple of years. So I think it's a good thing. You know, he might be one of those guys that just knows how to work with the guys that aren't really looked at as top talents, but can get the most out of them. So He seems to work with the Blue Jays.
Yes.
So, good for the Blue Jays for seeing that. It's interesting because they are Canada's only baseball team, so you want them to do well for that. But at the same time, they're from Toronto.
So you know they're not going to do well.
They're not going to win.
No.
But if they'll get everybody talking because Toronto fans won't ever stay quiet.
Yeah, it's one of the few teams. It's actually the only team from Toronto that I actually support.
Well, I used to like the Rock until we got the Rush, and then they moved, so...
I never really had a team for that, for the National Lacrosse League.
Oh, no, the Rock were fun to watch.
They won a lot the first, like, five of the first 6 years they won.
Yeah, like, I also played lacrosse super growing up.
I did not.
You know, watching guys like Cade Toth play, like, that was pretty cool. Getting to meet him when he actually became a member of Calgary Roughnecks was kind of cool. But at the same time, like, it's, I don't know, I mean, there's the occasional Toronto team. Like, I don't like the Leafs. I mean, it's hard because Blue Jays are always seen to be Canada's team. You had the Expos, and they left, and then it was kind of, I don't know.
I think
it's not like Blue Jay fans have the egos that Leaf fans do.
I bet some of them do.
Yeah, but no, like, of all the time. Like,
not of all the time, no.
They're not as ignorant.
No. I think the Blue Jays are the only team from Toronto that I like. Other than that, it's the Blackhawks.
Toronto Blackhawks.
Yeah, Toronto Blackhawks. if I had to pick a team for basketball, probably the Toronto Bulls.
Yeah.
Just because of Michael Jordan and the...
I like the Toronto Grizzlies. They're a great team.
Yeah. Is that pre or post Vancouver days?
They were never in Vancouver. I don't know what you're talking about.
you're talking about... Didn't they become Timberwolves? I don't know. Anyways, there was a team in Vancouver.
They're the Bobcats, man.
Whatever. Point is, because of Michael Jordan's Space Jam, that's why I like the Toronto Bulls. And then the Toronto Packers for football.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say the Toronto Patriots are a great team.
Yeah, you can't ever count out the Toronto Cowboys.
Yeah, they got T.O. and Brady, so he's a great player.
T.O.B.?
Yeah. T.O. and Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a goat, but it's spelled with a T.O.
G-R-O-O-T, he's the Groot.
Yeah, he's number 6, apparently, I don't know.
He's 21.
Yeah. That's ripping on Toronto, that's great. Have some class, you dorks.
Yeah, Jack Pride. Show some class, Mr. Dependable.
Can't even beat Buffalo, you losers.
Ha ha, you lost to Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's
why Eichel was better than Matthews.
True story. Even though they're both American and they both are crap.
Yeah, but Eichel has, like, a way better, like,
crap.
His hair's way better.
Ooh, you're talking to a guy who's bald. Ooh, yeah, I judge hair.
So you can appreciate how great.
I appreciate guys like, Getzlaff, you know, my brethren. My bald brethren.
What about Cassian? You gotta like Cassian.
Yeah, I don't mind him.
He has new teeth now. Yeah. He has a full set of teeth now. He didn't have that a couple weeks ago.
I don't respect that, though.
He kind of reminds me of the Goon.
Stiff. By the way, we saw the second Goon. Good movie.
It was
very,
a good movie.
Very funny. I highly recommend it. Another cheap plug. Cheap plug number 2. And cheap plug number 3. We got tickets to go to a certain adults beverage place tonight.
We got tickets to Eden, so I mean...
Yeah, the strip club. Because we're kind of a big deal and we know people.
Well, it's not our fault we're popular. That's not...
Well, actually, it is our fault, but, you know, I take full responsibility.
Yeah, it is our fault. We're popular people. People want to be our friends. It's nice.
We had one of the server ladies recognize us, come up and hang out with us for a little while at one of our drinking holes.
I actually don't even think I kept the tickets. I think I left them in the bar.
I think I have mine, but I don't know if I'll ever use it.
Yeah, I don't think I took my tickets, so they're still there.
Well, some poor sucker at this little watering hole here just got 2 free tickets to get into... See some boobies.
Amateur night.
Amateur night's a good night.
It's better than any other night.
Yeah, wet t-shirt contest.
It was 10 years ago. I don't know how it is now.
Wet t-shirt contest night is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
As of 3 years ago, so I can't say otherwise.
On that.
I think that about wraps her up.
Yeah, or wrapping it up, just like Brad Maddox and Xavier Woods should have wrapped it up.
Should have.
Should have, could have, but didn't.
Yeah, make sure you follow the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network and all their affiliates with Blown Call, other calls that should have been called, the no call.
Yeah.
Call you later, call me maybe.
The 911 phone call.
Yeah, all that stuff. Wrestling with Regret. That's going to come out soon. Featuring...
Is there something you want to tell me?
No, featuring Mike the Ref and how much he really hates himself.
Interesting.
Yes. I'm sure it will do very well within the Chinese market in Newark, New Jersey.
Or with people in Toronto, because, I mean...
Same thing, really.
I mean, yeah. There's no more regret than there is in the Ontario area.
True story!
Make
sure you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play.
Yeah. We're who you want to play on Google with.
Yes, indeed.
So.
Buy our t-shirts.
Yeah, but that's what a maneuver.
.net.
.net.
Come out this Saturday to the Alberta Avenue Arena to watch us do what we do best.
Yeah, April 1, MPW, Monster Pro Wrestling introduces Reboot.
I promise you this is not April Fool's. We will be there.
Yeah, I'll be there, and then we will, we're not going to fool you. We will allow you to buy us beer after the show.
True, because we are real.
Yeah, and we are spectacular. But also...
Strugglicious?
We're also live every Monday night on MPW Monday Night Dynamite on Shaw TV, channel 10. And then at 10:30. And then...
That's for Shaw TV Edmonton.
And then replays are Saturday, Sunday at noon.
Prime time!
Exactly. We only do the best. But then also, if you're living in the Red Deer area...
The deer that are red.
Yeah, on Sunday nights, apparently you're at about, what was it, 10 o'clock?
10.
So, yeah. And then if you're living in the Lethbridge area, you can also watch Pure Power Wrestling on Shaw TV.
Not as good, but still not bad.
Well, I mean, you got to see Chris Parrish become the number one contender to the Pure Power Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. As, you know...
As we do.
Well, I mean, they had a power rumble. It came down to the Irish and myself. They said they couldn't...
But Parrish, you guys landed on the outside at the same time.
Yeah, but my...
However did they decide who won?
My argument was is his feet totally landed first. I mean, you have to be as drunk as an Irishman to not know the difference.
And is that why they gave you the number one contendership?
Well, and then the next show, which is the 6 year anniversary show, it's going to be a triple threat between Massive Damage, the Irishman, and myself.
Ooh, you're winning gold! Hooray!
For the heavyweight championship of the Lethbridge world. Which, you know, just saying, when I win, I will become the first person to hold both their cruiserweight and heavyweight championship at any points in time. I'll be the first man to hold both titles.
You'll be the greatest wrestler of PPW of all the time.
The most accomplished wrestler.
Of all the time.
Of the Pure Power Wrestling
of
universe
time.
Of all the time.
All the time!
You know, hashtag just saying.
Hashtag true stories.
Yeah. I didn't make this up.
I can't.
But if you come to MPW Reboot this Saturday, Alberta Ave Community Hall, April 1, 7:30 bell time, you get to watch us struggle. Beat the Shark Club and become your new tag team champions.
Two-time
tag team champions.
And you'll get to see our newest member there.
Yeah, MPW Edmonton fans will see the new member, Sean the Headline Martins.
Because he makes headlines wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Whether it be for his wrestling prowess or for all those devious acts he made in Tijuana.
Yeah, we're not legally allowed to talk about that, so...
I'm still a character witness.
Witness, yeah. Okay, well, I'm not allowed to talk about it. But, you know, without further ado, we will be here about the same time next week with a live post-WrestleMania edition.
Indeed.
And that will be the new episode of The Sound Struggle. This is episode 16.
1-6!
Yep. It's,
I guess at some point we should have probably talked about the upcoming shows, but a little late for that now, eh?
Sweet 16.
Oh, yeah!
Upcoming shows. It'll happen eventually.
You guys all know what's going on with NXT and WrestleMania. You'd look it up if you don't
know. We'll talk about it next week.
We'll talk about it afterwards.
We talked about it last week, too.
Yeah, whatever.
Nothing has changed. Anyway, we are The Struggle.
We're real.
And there's three of us.
Which means we are
spectacular!